So Nelson Mandela, most of you should know that name, was a South African leader who stood against apartheid and got 27 years for his efforts. In year 7 of that sentence, he got his hands on the book by Norman Vincent Peale called The Power of Positive Thinking. That's a pretty popular book. Maybe some of you have had to read it. And he was struck by Peale's point that it's not so much about the disability that one suffers, but the attitude toward it. So much was he influenced by that Mandela ended up writing very soon after that, "Remember that hope is a powerful weapon even when all else is lost." Now that's a pretty solid statement, but consider the source and how, again, year 7 of a 27-year Nelson Mandela, and if you ever have a chance to read what that man suffered, it wasn't just a prison term. It was just terrible. And yet he wrote that hope is a powerful weapon even when all else is lost. And he's right. And as I stated last week, when we look around at our country, the current climate, our culture, I think it is incredibly easy to see that we are in need of a heavy dose of hope. And so last week, we just talked about that idea that God knows when to show up, that the incarnation is this absolutely amazing miracle which just communicates God's love and how the Creator recognized our need and the brokenness within us, and that sin separates us from Him, and He loved us enough that He wanted to restore that relationship, so He did what was necessary to bring us salvation. Well, this week we're going to look at that idea that when God knows when to speak up. So turn with me. This is a significant place in the Nativity. It's Luke 2, and this is a place where God speaks. So page 833 in the Pew Bible, and we will read 8 through 20. "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace amongst those whom he favors.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all the words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as had been told to them." At this point in my pastoral career, I have no idea how many times I have preached on that message. There's so much going on there. There's a lot of different ways that you can approach it. But this morning I wanted to specifically look at the things that God was giving, that message that God was giving the shepherds, and ultimately giving to us, because I think it really speaks to that bigger need that we have, which that is hope. So verse 10 and 11 says this. Again, so the angels have showed up, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." So I want you to see two things in these couple of verses. Number one, I am bringing you good news of great joy. So when you look at the climate, when you look at the culture around you, do you think we are in need of joy? Again, it's blaringly apparent. As I said last week, I mean, there's a heaviness out there. There's a despair. It permeates our culture. And we talked about it, you know, where there is no hope, I would argue, there's also no joy. You can't have one without the other. They're connected. So, and in order to really look at this, how would we decide, and I didn't do this last week, but how would we define Christian hope? And as I thought about that, I think we can say it's a confident expectation of good things yet to come, right? It might not be now, but we believe and we understand that where we are is not where we'll always be, and so good things are on the horizon. Now, How would we describe Christian joy? I think it's a little tougher than the hope, right? Because again, hope, we know it's this expectation, but how would we identify joy? So as I thought about that, I thought maybe you can, it helps to identify what it's not. So Christian joy is not a force of will. I think sometimes there are things within our Christian faith that we know it needs to happen, so we're just going to grit our teeth and we're going to buckle down and we're going to do what we need to do. Joy is not like that. Joy is a spontaneous emotional response of the heart. You can't fake it. You can't force it. There are times when, always I would say, by and large, it's a surprise because we're not looking for it. So we can't will ourselves to be joyful. Joyful, you know, happiness, we can pursue happiness. We can do and we can seek things out that make us happy, maybe in the moment, things that we enjoy. But joy is much deeper than that, so we can't force it. Secondly, I don't think joy is superficial or flimsy. So happiness, again, I mean, we can be happy for, you know, there are people, our nephew got married yesterday. And so I was doing marriage counseling, and we were talking about the importance of showing affection with one another and romantic love. And they were both sitting there confessing, well, we're not really romantic. And so I was like, well, you got to figure that out. And she's like, well, I don't like, you know, I don't like flowers. I don't like this. She loves Burger King. She loves Whopper. Whoppers. All right, who's sped? Who's got the warrant out? The cop's coming in. Anybody need to hide quick? No, I know. I'm just, that was a test. I wanted to see if anybody got up and ran. So I had to meet with you and pray for you. All right. So anyway, so this super, you know, and again, so this idea of romance and affection, now he was wondering why everybody turned around, great. But that affection piece and that understanding that there are so many things in our life that seem superficial and flimsy. I mean, even, you know, we're in the midst of Christmas shopping, and I was sitting there, and I love Amazon, I'll just go ahead and say it. But the one thing in Amazon is you can see what you've ordered all the years, you know. And so I was looking for Beth for a filter for our humidifier, right? And so she's like, well, I ordered a couple years ago. And I look back, and I'm trying not to be cynical for Christmas, but we're shopping for our children. And you go back and you look at all the crap that you bought that they can care less about at this point, right? And you're just like, they wanted it so much, and we got it for them, and if I asked them, they wouldn't even know where it is, or it's maybe at the hands of God at this point, right? So there's so many things in this life that seem just superficial and flimsy and meaningless, right? Joy's not one of those. Joy is this deep, firm thing that exists in the deeper parts of our soul. It is something that I would say defies rational logic and humanness, and yet it's there. And then finally, and it feeds right into this, joy is not natural, okay? Here's the reality of our humanity. Things that are natural for us, pride, self-centeredness, selfishness, broken humanity, that's who we are. You might not like to hear it, but that's the reality of who our humanness is. We are self-centered people. And so joy is not natural. So what it means, joy is supernatural. Joy is something that comes from a lovingly heavenly Father, and he has to be the one that produces joy. And so when you look at this combo of joy and hope and how it comes, I mean, every one of us wants it, and we want it for our loved ones. So how do we get that? And I think the angels give us a couple clues here. So the very first thing these angels say, and we think it's, you know, within the context of they had totally freaked the shepherds out, but I think there's a deeper meaning here, right? So in our version, it says, do not be afraid. Other versions use the term, fear not. Let me ask you, how big an issue do you think is fear in the world today? I mean, have you ever considered how negative and how just like it crops up and spend, and again, I tell you not to do it, but if you doubt my point at this, spend 3 minutes on the news or social media, and I think you will see how much fear influences, impacts people just on a daily basis. And I will argue that fear is one of the media's biggest modes of operation. Fear sells. Fear will hook you in. And again, I appreciate there's a few other news places that try to do more positive thing. I watch, again, maybe 10, 15 minutes every morning when I'm waiting for Ty to get ready to school. I turn on Fox 17, and they're goofballs, but I love it. You know, they'll communicate the news in a little snippet, but then they're showing high schools that are raising, you know, food and all these different things. But by and large, the media just, they feed that idea, that fear-mongering, and people were drawn into it. But here's the thing, when we operate in fear, we cannot operate in the ways that God intends for us. You can't fear and love at the same time, right? God took one of the things that we celebrate, the coming of the Messiah, is that Jesus came and he replaced the old covenant with the new, right? 10 commandments, and he basically rolls out with 3. Love God, love neighbors, and love your enemies. That's what it is. But if you are fear, if you live in fear, you can't do those things. We are pretty simple people. When one emotion, when one focus, our mind can focus, even though women can hop around really quick. Really, at any given second, we can only focus on one thing mentally at a time. So if it's fear, it's not those things that God wants from us. So we can't love the way God calls us to. We can't obey the way God wants us to. Fear can even taint our worship. Fear can become this huge obstacle in our pursuit and relationship with God. So that's why I think Jesus Christ, again, he was talking to the shepherds specifically, but he's also telling us, do not be afraid. So what does this really mean? What are we being called here? Number one, we're being called to trust God. I mean, do we truly believe that God is bigger than anything, the worst that this world has to offer? Absolutely. I mean, God is so much more powerful than anything on this planet, it's ridiculous. And so if we worship him and we follow him, no matter what this world throws at us, no matter what is trying to make us fearful, we instantly can say our God is bigger. So we have to learn to trust God. The other one is accept God's plan. How much fear do you allow to creep into your life because you're trying to make it about you and what you want? Right? We have these plans, we have these ideas, and God's standing there going, hey, I got something better for you. And we're like, so we go this way, and then we're worried. My nephew, I don't think he listens to my sermons because they have their own church, so hopefully. But one of those things, I mean, you guys know he spent 2 years in jail. You know that he has a felony. And so right now he's working at the mission and God's blessing him. But throughout that entire process, he would put himself out there and try to get these other jobs, and they would love him, and it would get to a point, and they would find out about his felony, and guess what happened? You don't hire felons. And I had to remind him time and time again, Ryan, God is in this. You want the job that God wants you to have, and it doesn't matter if you have a felony or not. If God wants you there, you're going to get it regardless. We need to live like that. We need to look and seek God's plan for. I was never going to be a pastor. It wasn't on my radar. It was not, I mean, to the point where I would say almost to the point it was anti-radar because I was raised in the church and I saw it and I fought against it. But you know what? I don't fear a whole lot because I know what I'm doing, what God's called me to do. We need to accept God's plan. And finally, we need to boldly face the future. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what your struggles are, but our future is secure. The Bible even tells us the worst thing that man can do is take our mortal lives. He can't touch the soul. And this life is a drop in the bucket compared to eternity with heaven. And so when we look at that, and I love reading stories and things about the underground church because God gives those people such a perspective that they are boldly living their faith, even though it might cost them their lives because they know this to be true. And so they live without fear because they're willing to trust God, they're willing to accept his plan regardless of what it looks like, and they also know what their future is. And as good as this truth is, the message even goes a little farther. Look at what else that the angel said, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly, again, so not just one angel, multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. And on earth peace among whom he favors. We're offered peace. Doesn't peace sound great at this point? Again, if you're saying, yes, Pastor Todd, I want the hope, I want the joy, I don't want to live in fear, that peace goes right along with that. When we look at across our world, when we look across our country, it does not appear that there's much peace. Well, we live in a broken world, and primarily what this is being talked about here isn't peace among the nations. It's not peace among the races or the political parties. We are broken. Our world is broken. Until Jesus Christ come back and rectify all of it, peace is not going to happen. But this peace that God is offering is peace right here. It's peace within me. I don't have to have my past and the sin of my past or even the sin of my present define me, because what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I can cling to the truth of what God says about it, and I can have peace. I can have peace from the world around us, even though it's raging and there's a lack of hope and it just seems so dark. That is not my identity. That's not my reality. So I can have peace. I can have peace in circumstances that look so dark and bleak, because like what we just said, my God is bigger than that, and I can trust him, and no matter what happens, my future is set. There was a young man, and he was eager to grow in his Christian life. And he had got a piece of paper, and he made this list of things that he wanted to do for God, and he wrote them down, and he poured his heart into this. Things that he would give up. Places that he would want to go to minister, areas of ministry he would want to enter, and he wrote this all out, and he was so excited, and he went to a church that during prayer you could go to the altar, and so he went forward, and he went to his knees, and he put that on the altar and left it for God. And he went out, and he thought he was going to be filled with joy, but instead he felt empty, and he went home, and he started thinking about more things. Maybe he had missed something on the list, and so he was racking his brain. So he wrote down another list with even more things. But the longer that list became, the emptier he felt. So he went to his pastor, and he explained what he had done. And the pastor looked at him and said, you know what, take a blank sheet of paper, sign your name on the bottom, and put it on the altar. That's where he found peace. When we just simply go before God and say, here I am. Do what you want. Peace comes when we surrender, we trust, and we follow. Jesus, God's message to mankind during the Christmas season, again, first given to a bunch of shepherds all those years ago, but is still powerful for us today. We are offered joy. We are offered strength against fear. We are offered peace that passes all understanding. Every one of us wants that in our lives. We want to see it manifested. We want to see it lived out. But our reality is we don't always feel God's joy. Fear sometimes creeps in. And there are more times than we will admit that we don't have a lot of peace. Well, this is the last truth I want you to grasp this morning, and it's out of the book of Ephesians 3, 14 and 16. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit. Look at that last line. Strengthened in your inner being with the power through the Spirit. When we receive the gift that Jesus offered us, the gift of salvation, the gift that he left heaven to die on a cross in order to give us, not only do we get the freedom from our sins, the promise of eternity with the Father, a right relationship with God, we also get the Spirit that indwells us. I mean, I still, as a pastor, I still don't get the concept that our God loved us enough that he wanted to come and live in me. It doesn't compute in my humanness. It's part of that great mystery. But again, so here, he empowers us. If I am willing to walk in the Spirit, he empowers me to grasp hold of the hope, the joy, and the peace that's available to me. There is no other way around this. We need to have this in God's power, because our own power won't do it. And so he gave himself to us. He gives us his power. Are you fearful of something this morning? Are you lacking hope? Have you not experienced that joy in a while or peace in your life? You don't get them by seeking them. You get them by seeking him. It's residual. When we seek God, he loves us and he wants to pour out those things on our lives. And here's the thing this morning. God still speaks. I think it's safe to say that none of us are going to get that message from God from a host of angels. I think it's cool to think about, but I think it would totally freak most of us out if that would happen. And yet God doesn't, it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to speak to you. God still lovingly speaks to his people. Our problem is usually we're too busy to slow down and listen. But when we do, when we stop, when we sit at his feet, when we listen to his heart, he speaks exactly what we need to hear into our lives. He reminds us of his incredible love. He reminds us of the worth that we have in him, and he invites us to participate in the advancement of his kingdom. And in this process, he gives us hope, he gives us joy, and he gives us peace. Please pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father God, I can say you're amazing, I can say you're awesome, I can say a bunch of different words, but they fall short. You are so beyond us, it's crazy. And yet, you refer to yourself as our Father and us as your children. You want so much more for us than often we receive from you. And in the midst of this Christmas season, we're once again reminded how, you spoke to humanity. I mean, you came and made a point of telling us what you offered, that we can live with joy, that we can live with peace, we don't have to be afraid, that we can have hope because of those truths. Lord, just wherever we are this morning, whether, man, we're walking and we feel close to you, or maybe we're struggling, or maybe we've been carrying stuff that you never meant us to, meet us in that place. Help the truth of this message get through that junk. Help us to accept it. Help us to grasp it. Help us to make it alive in us so that we can truly walk in your peace, your joy, and your hope. We praise you for all that you do for us, and we just want you to know that we love you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.